Now, on the moment we're going to talk to Anne Dempsey, who turned age, going to speak to us about, loneliness, etc. Hello, Anne.
Hello, how are you, Austin?
Not too bad at all. And the weather's picking up.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll soon be saying that Immortal sent us a great stretch in the evenings.
Yes, hopefully. And yeah. Of course, that brings all sorts of things to fore too. And you're going to talk to me about a reduction in client loneliness after 16 months with the programme. Maybe elucidate, give us a little bit of background on loneliness and how you would tackle this.
I'll tell you, that particular statistic, Noel, is related to a programme of ours called Age Well. And Age Well is a programme that began in third age about, we're coming into the end of our second year now, and it began because, it began because of loneliness, really, and older people, and our wish to kind of work with older people in our local area in as many constructive and imaginative ways as possible. And we heard of a programme in, this is a slightly long bit, but I'll just give you the whole background. Mm-hmm. We heard of a programme in South Africa where the bit that really appealed to us all was the peer aspect. It was young mothers supporting young mothers and visiting young mothers. And what came through to us, and it comes through in many of our programs, is the peer aspect. It's you know, putting together like with like, to like help like, to have like helping other people like them, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And these mothers in South Africa, these old single mums, the program began that kind of bottom-up development, rather than the government saying what was needed, the mothers themselves, another single mother, knowing what was needed, she'd been through it, so let me help my peer, let me help. I've been through something and I'm at the other side and I know what's involved, so let me help somebody who's still struggling at the other end. So that was the whole genesis of Age Well. We looked at how this peer aspect of older person's loneliness could be helped by another older person who had something to give. And we set up this program called Age Well, which we have, we're doing another training course this week. I'm doing some work on it tomorrow with new volunteers. We set up a program where we have Age Well companions, and we train older people as companions of older people at home. And the people that who deliver the service, who are trained, they're older people living in the area. They have some time. There could be a background in, you know, nursing, and there could be a background in business. It could be, wives at home. And they have something to give. They want to give. And we train them. And this began, as I say, coming up to our second year now. And we did a baseline survey. We surveyed all the older people we were going to visit before we began visiting them, and we surveyed them for how they were, their kind of body, mind and spirit, you know, how they were in themselves, how they felt about themselves, how mobile they were, how happy they were, how low they were, how anxious they were. And we have been doing 4-month successive external evaluations ever since. And it's shown a remarkable result. I have some figures here in front of me that 206 clients, Noel, were referred to the program since March 2018. And only 3% chose to leave the program since they were enrolled. And I suppose the most important survey, and I just look at the actual figure now because it's quite dramatic. It is around the whole area of loneliness, as you say. That where's the actual figure? I know it's absolutely terrific that loneliness has gone down dramatically in the years since. And you talk there, Noel, and I'll find this figure for you because it's a most positive, excellent figure.
Yeah, well,
let me just see. Yeah.
bereavement now would be one of the major issues with regard to loneliness, you know, particularly if the partner or the husband or wife or whatever were on, there was only the two of them, and the children had moved away, and et cetera, et cetera. And we find that, you know, the spouse can be get very, very lonely, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most of the people that come onto our programme, Noel, they're on their own. You know, a lot of people are widowed or single, and the reason why they want to come on the programme is their family is worried about them. And we get referrals from families, from GPs, from local community services, because people have to kind of sign up to go on the programme, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes, and, you know, of course, the winter time now, you know, is the loneliest time, particularly with, spouses and partners have passed on, etc. And the dark, dull evenings and... you know, a little bit of sunshine does a massive amount of good, you know.
Well, a day like today, I mean, you can feel your spirits lifting. Yeah, I know it's cold, but it's much brighter today, isn't it? You know,
oh, yes,
feeling,
yeah.
Yeah,
we're
getting
there slowly but surely.
We are getting there slowly but surely, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, Noel, that the other kind of very unique aspect of the AgeWell programme is that as well as training our companions to, you know, visit people, there's a visit and a phone call, and we also have trained people in the use of a 20-question health app. So what they do is, and again, the older person has signed up for this and is happy to have this as a way of helping them and monitoring their health. So the companions ask each time they visit, every fortnight, every second visit, the companion asks the volunteer, asks the client a series of questions about how they are. You know, a very comprehensive kind of look at their overall health. And the thing about it is that this builds up week by week or fortnight by fortnight. So we have a continuous audit of how they are from 1 week to the next. And if there's anything that causes concern, that's immediately reported to the local health service for a follow-up. So it's a very good early warning system and a very good monitoring of the client's spiritual, social, physical and mental health.
Mm-hmm. That's a well list, in other words. And the specific questions on the sheet, like the third visit, yes, was X amount of questions or whatever, or just...
Yeah, it's 20 questions each time, Noel, Austin, sorry, it's 20 questions each time, Austin, and it's the same questions. This allows you to see if there's any variation, you know,
mm-hmm.
forward or back. And, you know, say for example, we were visiting Tom, and Tom on this is week 7, and Tom is kind of quite low, and he was quite low on week 5, the last time, and he shows an improvement the next time. Well, that's very good. But if he's still kind of low or worried or bereaved, as you say, or going down, that's really noted. And maybe there's some intervention might be needed, you know? Mm-hmm. So it allows us to keep a very good track of how people are doing.
Yeah, it's sort of a well list, not a medical list, a well list as such. And, you know, well, people can get down at the best of times. They get some bad news.
Sure.
You know, that they can be down in the dumps. And, of course, the next visit, it could be flying high. It depends on the individual, you know. Some people, you know, are prone to depression and others aren't.
That's very true. One of the things we're finding in terms of the how people have done well since this going on the program, for example, one man who wasn't getting out at all, he just kind of he kind of was looking a bit inward, you know, and now he goes for a walk every day. Little things, you know, which make a huge difference. Oh, sorry, I keep calling over. My apologies. Little things that make a huge difference. One woman who'd given up baking is now baking again, you know, small little things. An awful lot of families who, a lot of these older people, they have families, but the families aren't near, or they can't visit as often as they'd like. It's not that our families are uncaring, it's just that it's not possible to call in every day the way they would like. But the families are absolutely delighted with the program, and how their dad or their mum is so much better and so much happier in themselves. And you would think, it doesn't seem very much just calling in to see somebody every week, but and phoning. But I suppose it's the continuity and building up the relationship and getting to know somebody and somebody showing an interest in you that makes all the difference.
Yeah, well, the building up of the relationship is a major factor in all sorts.
Isn't
of...
Isn't it?
Sometimes it takes a lot longer than other times, you know. Some people hit it off right away.
Well, one of the things that we try and do, and we're doing it very successfully, we try and match the visitor with the client. You know, every client is interviewed. We interview them before they go on the go and get to know a little bit about them and what are they like and what their likes and their dislikes. And then we try and match a visitor with them, you know. And then we're training another group of companions at the moment. And they're trained in listening, they're trained in empathy, they're trained in some of the understanding of older people. Now, they're older themselves, but older people who kind of might have some problems. So it's a very, very personal, person-centred programme, you know?
Yes, and I think listening is initially is a major thing that... You don't give advice right away. You listen to what the person is saying, and you find some subject that they were interested. They might have been interested in football or tennis or horse racing. Or it doesn't matter what.
Yeah.
Once there's that connection, they can start discussing. Yeah, that old nag fell at whatever fence, and I lost me short on it, you know, and this type of thing.
No, you said something important. It's listening. It's all about listening, you know. And some of our AgeWell companions tell me that, you know, when they get to know somebody, they find people begin to confide in one to some extent or share a little worry or something like that. And again, our visitors are very, very wise. That we don't ever tell the client what to do, because that's not our role. But we do help them decide maybe what they feel they'd like to, or maybe if they might discuss it with their family member, discuss it with their doctor. So we're kind of the go between or the midwife in some of these situations, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when the client begins discussing a problem, it's in the discussing the problem kind of shifts or changes or lessens, you know. So, you know, when you're on your own and something's preying on your mind, if you can talk about it to somebody else, you can sometimes see it in a different light.
Yeah, and it can give me an insight into how you're going to solve the problem, if it is a problem.
Exactly.
And you might have a three or four different outlets for it, you know, and
that you hadn't thought of.
Yeah, that you hadn't thought of, you know, and
exactly.
You can that can be teased out by the companion, you know, without telling the person.
So, AgeWell, it's just in Meath at the moment, Austin, but it's a scheme. It's a very, very good model of a scheme. I mean, it could scale up very, very well. You know, you could see it happening in different places. It's so simple, it's so, you know, local, it's so kind of personal. And again, it's very cost effective because it's volunteers, you know, doing it now. And that's not to say that it's still the whole training, all that costs money, but it's really, and it's kind of win-win because it's using older people to help other older people, which is a lovely way of going about things, I think.
Yeah, and apart from that, the friendship builds up, and they can become great friends, you know, and go to the pub on a Wednesday night or whatever, and or go to the musicals or whatever, and films, or just plain discussions, and they you know, they get on very well with one another a little bit of while, you know, and you know, if a person is sort of you know, compelled some way in not being able to do this or do that, and you might get just a little bit of helping hand, you know.
Yeah, it's a lovely idea maybe to go to the pub together. The actual service we offer is confined to visiting people in their own
home.
There have to be a whole insurance piece around something else. Do you know what I mean? You can understand why that might be.
Oh yeah,
but,
sound.
Yeah. But like, it's amazing how spending time sitting with somebody, having a cup of tea or coffee, it punches above its weight in terms of what it can achieve, you know.
Yes, and you know, the 90 minutes talking, how are you, Joe, and et cetera, Anne or whatever, and how are things today, and et cetera, and go for that. Did you see that program the other night? It was horrible. This type of thing, and this builds up a friendship.
That can develop, and the training includes all kinds of situations that might occur, like if, as you say, the person is bereaved, or the person is worried, or in bad form, or the training includes the kind of situations that the volunteer can walk into. And the other thing is that the companion, the visitor, the volunteer, they're very well supported by the whole team, so that if anything is worrying them, they can come back to us immediately and get some support around it, you know.
Yeah, or get some information who would, what agency would be available to assist, etc.
Yeah, well, they already, in their training, they know all the kind of various agencies, most stuff, but it's more like if something happens on the visit that they want to just, you know, discuss with somebody, this is what happened, and just to get some support around an interaction that happened, you know. The visitors, the companions meet every week with their supervisor to discuss the whole thing. So it's a program that's really, really well monitored.
Mm-hmm. And we hope to extend it, the program.
What I was saying, Austin, is that it is a program that we need money. It's a program that would lend itself really, really well to kind of scaling up, because it's such a good model. But in order to extend it, obviously, we need more support for that. But it's we began with loneliness and an ageing Ireland. And as you know, all these figures, we know them so well, that the number of older people in the population is continuing to grow. So the number of older people who will be at home on their own, moving from their 70s into their 80s, is really going to grow. And so there's going to be such a need for programmes like this, which are so helpful and so caring.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and we wish you all the very best. And
thank you very much, Austin.
And we'll be back to you a little on later on the year and find out
how we're doing.
How you're doing, yes. And I'd like to thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Austin. Really, really appreciate it.
Right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was Anne Dempsey of Third Age speaking to us about loneliness, and loneliness can be, you know, it can lead to all sorts of things, and we won't go there. And you know, the lonelier you get, the lonelier you get. But we're not going to be lonely now in a minute. We're going to play a little piece of music.